Coming to you from Studio Ice Nine in Earth's capital, San Diego, California, USA. It's the Beatdown Show.
If you don't dig this mess, you got the wrong damn address.
Here is your indomitable host, C. Colton.
Just don't give up trying to do what you really want to do. Where there is love and inspiration, I don't think you can go wrong. These, the immortal words of American jazz singer Ella Fitzgerald. Woo! Bienvenidos and welcome back for another edition of the almighty Beat Down Show.
That's marvelous.
I am your host, C. Colton, a.k.a. C. Note, a.k.a. C. Fresh, a.k.a. C. Niss, a.k.a. Cornelius Coltoniferous III. Esquire, of course, if you're not into the whole brevity thing. And we are very, very excited because we have a special guest co-hosting with us tonight. First and foremost, though, gotta give thanks to our voiceover emeritus, J-Dub. Thank you for that, sir. I believe he lives in Colorado now, but he definitely was involved in the early days. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I did not thank our executive producer, the man behind the board there, the engineer extraordinaire. Well, I always get tripped up on that one. It's McCoolin. And you can find more information about his band, the Gorgeous Boy Scouts, at gorgeousboyscouts.com. So that's fantastic. Real quick about the show. This is our show mantra. Our program is San Diego-centric, and we touch on a variety of topics, such as local news, politics, sports, music, culture, and of course, craft beer capital. And we speak our minds on the Beatdown Show. We're beholden to no one, and we have no sponsors and no hidden agenda. This episode, we're really stoked because we have, like I said, a special guest. Without further ado, I just want to bring him in right now, and it's very, very successful and professional musician, Sean Rolfe. Sean, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Glad you could be a part of our show today. The show is constantly evolving, and we'd love your feedback. You can subscribe on iTunes or Podcast Addict. If you do that, leave a review. Tell us how much we suck. And don't forget to like us on the Facebook page, and we have a Twitter handle, which is at Beatdown Show. So, I guess before we get going too far in advance, I better do a little breakdown of the show here.
Breakdown? The flow will break you down.
Bet the flow will break you down.
The flow will break you down.
All right. So we'll touch on a couple of local topics to get started. Among them, how there was a link to the recent terror attack in Nice, France, a local link, I should say. We'll briefly discuss how the big Nerdfest Comic-Con is coming to town and get some of Sean's thoughts on it. Are you a Comic-Con fan?
Not really.
Yeah, it's not really my cup of tea, but I realize what it means to San Diego and how big of a thing it is and drives the economic engine and all that.
No, I think it's great.
It's a great, it's a great gathering of all the pop culture stuff. And have you ever attended?
Yeah, I was brought there one time.
Okay.
Some of my friends,
against your will,
friends a little bit, but once I got there, I was like, this is cool. You know, I just, I've never collected comic books and that kind of thing, but I like seeing the Star Wars people walking around.
Heck
and all
yeah.
that. It was cool.
And it's just probably been,
you know, blown out of proportion since the time you went.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I've gone to like the NAMM show and the music ones like that. And that's kind of my nerd gathering, but totally appreciate what it is. And it's cool that it's here.
It is, you know, yes.
It's a big deal.
It absolutely is. So we'll touch on that. Then after that, we will get into a short sports segment. We've got to some Padre stuff, and then Sean's connection to a former Padre. So we'll get into that. After that, our music segment is essentially going to be an interview with Sean. He's going to play us some tunes. I'm excited about that, and tell us about what he's up to. Then probably the favorite part of co-hosts when they come on, Sean, will do the What You Drinkin' On segment. It's all about craft beer.
Oh, yeah.
And
you drink something beer. I do know about, yeah.
Okay.
I do enjoy.
Perfect. So you're a perfect selection to co-host when we have that going. And then we'll close with the beatdown list, where we throw people under the bus or call people out because they haven't been acting right. Usually it's locals or locals in a position of power, because we try to really be the voice of the people here on the Beatdown Show.
Man, I've got certain information.
I do. And it's time to drop it.
Let me drop it on the one.
All right. And, real quick, this is the part of the show where I spit the hot fire.
More fire, more fire, more fire.
Let's get one more round of fire for Sean Rolfe here.
More fire, more fire, more fire.
Ow. Yeah. That's how I get pumped to get into this thing here. So, yes, the terror attack in Nice, France, horrible thing. I'm sure you heard about that.
Yeah, it was definitely a big bummer.
Real big bummer. It came out in the news recently that a 20-year-old from Del Mar was among the 84 victims who lost their lives in that heinous attack. It was a 20-year-old young man, Nicholas Leslie. Real bummer. He was abroad doing some summer education. He's a student at UC Berkeley. And really a bad deal there. So there was a local connection. Don't mean to bring everyone down with that, but if it, it that may have been something that escaped people. There was a local tie there. Bummer. Also, kind of on a kind of a bummer news, kind of San Diego connection. The attack on police that happened in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, recently, where three policemen were killed. The gunman was not from San Diego, but he was a former Marine, veteran of the Marines, I should say. And his service assignments included MCRD here in San Diego and then infantry school at Camp Pendleton. You know, Marines have to go somewhere, and that's just a tiny little shred. It's not like he has a real connection to San Diego other than he was stationed here for a while, but really... really tough way to start out the show here, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You know, you got all these, I've had a lot of friends in France, right? You know, my sister was touring over there with her band, Whale in the Thames. And, you know, I knew someone who just had left Nice the day before. Okay. It's just like crazy. You know, stuff's going on everywhere. And, you know, you never know where you're going to be in the crossfire. Or it's crazy times.
It is.
It's we've got to love harder.
Exactly, man. You know, I mean,
this is like... a lot of hatefulness going on. That's gotta, you know. We gotta flip it around here. So
let's stop this violence, you know. And that just leads me into a thought here about San Diego Police Department's record. And you know, as far as I know, San Diego Police. Sure, there's been probably every police department in America. There's been some sort of wrongdoings, or the police haven't acted right. You know, the fact that I think that they do a okay job of trying to keep race relations in check, trying to manage big events. I mean, Pride just happened in Hillcrest, and thankfully, I know that there was a security, you know, a stepping up of security with all the recent stuff that's been happening. Mm-hmm. No incidents at Pride, which is great to hear. Yeah. I think, for the most part, the SDPD tries to do their best with the communities.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think most policemen do, and we need the police. It's,
sure.
You know, we need that. We need the law enforcement, and, you got a few bad apples in every group.
Of course. Of course.
And then you get retaliation. It's an endless cycle.
Increase the peace, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Unbelievable. So More fun topic. Comic-Con is coming to town. Here come the nerds. And as I've noticed over the last four, five, maybe six, 7 years, the Hollywood types as well increasingly are here. The movies is a bigger, almost a bigger part than the comic books. In fact, I would say it is a bigger part. Mm. Yes, some of the movies are based on comic books. Some don't have anything to do with it at all. And then the television shows and whatnot. I mean, I can remember... I kind of got to sneak into Comic-Con a couple of years in a row because I used to work at the San Diego Convention Center. So I got a little bit of access that way and remember that Breaking Bad, the TV show, had a panel. And I was like, well, this is kind of cool. Nothing to do with comic books. Yeah. But still, it's that Hollywood movie and entertainment machine coming together and the world kind of turns its eyes from a pop culture standpoint onto San Diego for Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of become our South by Southwest in a way, you know, the way South by Southwest started as an indie music thing, but it really covers a lot of different areas, you know, from tech to film and all that kind of stuff now.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, the Comic-Con stuff is great. Again, like I said at the top of the show, it drives the economic engine in town. There is a possibility that Comic-Con could be leaving unless the convention center gets expanded. We're not going to really go into that here on the show today, but it would be a real loss for San Diego, and part of its, I think Comic-Con's become part of the identity of San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, very much.
We don't want to see it go to Vegas or Anaheim or LA.
No,
you
know? I mean, keep it here.
Keep Comic-Con here. Keep the con here.
It's not even my thing, but I say keep it here.
You know, I like I do that too. It's here. You know? I keep it here too, and yeah. I really don't go downtown much anyway. I try not to during Comic-Con. It's too crazy.
Right.
But for years now, a pal of mine from NorCal drives down and parks on my street in North Park because... he's staying at a hotel, but it's expensive to park your car in the hotel. And so if he can just leave it on my street where there's no parking restrictions, no problem. He usually takes me out to dinner, so that works. All I have to do is just keep, his car's still there. You know, I don't have to move it or anything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, it's a real spectacle. And I have gone down there during Comic-Con week just to see kind of what it's like. Like I said, I used to work at the convention center. I couldn't get away from it then because it was all hands on deck inside the building. And it's pretty marvelous what it's all about. The one thing I don't like to see, you know, is just like stuff like nerds trampling each other or, you know, waiting in line and you know, not being respectful of one another, like that kind of thing. It's like, okay, yes, I get it. You want to wait in line overnight for the, you know, preview of the new Batman or Iron Man movie, but you know, just remember, like, you know, be kind to your fellow, you know, Comic-Con conventioneer.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of nostalgia for me thinking about like sleeping, you know, on the sidewalk overnight to get like Tom Petty tickets in the 80s. Sure. You know, so it was a party. Have fun with it.
Exactly. Have a good time.
So, not online, you know, as you can actually stay out and. There's some good times back then before the internet, I think.
I think you're right, my man. I think you're definitely right. Hey, and feel free to spend some dough while you're in town here, nerds.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of you stay in hotels.
Straight cash, homie.
Exactly.
Yeah. And come up here and support some local music in the North Park, South Park area.
I think that's a good call.
When you're done with a convention, come out and see some.
I think there's probably...
Asthma, you know, it's close by.
Of course. Yeah, there's some folks that need a break from that and want to get out of downtown. Perfect opportunity to check out the Casbah or to come up to North Park and soak in some of the local neighborhood stuff, South Park as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so keep that in mind and enjoy yourselves, but let's be kind out there. Well, now I think it's time for us to get take it to the recreational fields. It's time for sports.
I don't know if it'll make any change, but I figure it's time for me to start playing ball. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what the scoreboard says. At the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners.
Yeah. Woo. That's from the movie Hoosiers. I don't know if you recognize that.
I was going to say, was that the White Shadow?
Not bad, though. Not bad. Basketball related. Both clips.
Anyone who gets that, that's under the age of 40, maybe.
Maybe, right? It definitely wasn't lost on me. That was a terrific show, The White Shadow.
Yeah.
Hulu it or Google it, you young millennials, if you don't know what we're talking about. And Hoosiers, too, if you haven't. Well, terrific. Well, at this time of year, it's the dog days of summer. It's pretty much baseball. Obviously, the All-Star Game was here recently. That was kind of cool. The Padres are not, as of this recording, in last place, which is kind of cool. They're ahead of the Filthy Snakes, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Swept the Giants.
Swept the Giants, exactly. The last two guys I had in on the Beatdown show, my pals, Andy Beatley Hagler and Chris Saar, were huge Giants fans, and we were actually going to the game that night. Fantastic win for the Padres. They won on the bottom of the 10th. The pitcher for the Giants fell off the mound. A balk was called, and the Padres had a runner on third base. So the 10th inning balk off. Yeah. Never have seen that before in baseball.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Off balk.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Never have seen that.
Say balk off, yeah.
Do you get to down to Petco Park to take in games at all?
Yeah, I was actually there on Sunday.
Nice.
I brought my kids down there and saw the game.
Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a very good time.
Why not? Pods won that one, too.
Yeah.
Had a no-hitter going through six and a third innings.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty. I mean, you almost saw some history. The Padres have still the only MLB franchise without a no-hitter.
Right, right.
But, I mean, either way, they won anyway.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Nice.
Fun to watch.
Well, good. I'm glad you get out there. What about getting you out there to sing the national anthem sometime before a game?
Oh, that'd be cool.
How cool would that be? Man?
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to some people. I have no connections at all. But
yell it from the stands.
Exactly. Right. Hey, let's get Rolf up there. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you, I'm a San Diego native. That's one of the reasons I do this show. I've got a lot of 619 pride. Mm-hmm. And I still cherish every victory. So that's great. Padres have been making some moves. They've traded a few guys to get young talent, and now they have what's looking like a stockpiling of pitching arms and a lot of really young dudes. They just traded one of their starting pitchers for this kid who's 18 years old. He's going to be in the minors, but I mean, he has really wicked stuff, and he's the number one prospect now in the Padres farm system.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So when your kids get a little older, Padres might actually be competing. But it's pretty clear to me they're not trying to compete this year or even next year because, at this point, they're almost mathematically eliminated from postseason play.
Well, I think that's what they need to do. You know, they need to get that farm and develop the team. I mean, that's what they did in San Francisco. And
oh, yeah.
It's pays off, you know, in the long run, your homegrown boys, you know.
Right, especially if you can keep them for a little while. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of exciting that they're building that, but, you know, potential doesn't necessarily sell tickets. Anyway, I'll still keep going to games. You know, I'll still keep following the team, and I really do relish every victory. Don't trade Will Myers, please. AJ Preller, GM of the Pods, if you're listening, don't trade Will Myers, first baseman.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Minnesota, and, you know, I had the Twins to root for, and they sucked, you know. It was like, it went many years of, they weren't even close to, you know, a national title but some of the best times of my life, you know, going to see Rod Carew and Harmon Killebrew and Tony Oliva and
those guys.
Minnesota?
That's the funny thing, McCoolin. I meant to mention that to you.
I could feel the vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Across there. You know, and later they, of course, won a couple World Series, but
there you go.
By that point I had moved out of the States.
You were gone. You were gone even by the first one they had?
Yeah. Actually, I was probably still there, but I was on my way out.
You're kind of
lost touch with baseball at that point.
He checked out by then. The Kirby Puckett years.
Yeah, and I watched it, and I enjoyed it. But
yeah. Well, at least you have World Series rings. I mean, we don't have those here in San Diego. What are those? We've been twice.
Yeah.
Didn't work out either time. Flannery probably told you about 84.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was a big fan then. I was 7 years old, and I was into every game, and, you know, celebrated the one win they had. Still the only win they've had since they got swept in 98 by the Yankees. We don't talk about that here.
Right.
So we'll leave that one alone. But speaking of Tim Flannery, and he's retired now from the game, but he had been the third base coach for the San Francisco Giants during their three wins. A lot of people know him because he still lives in North County, and he's a great musician. So tell us about your relationship with him.
Yeah, you know, when I moved to San Diego, I had, like I said, stopped following baseball for years, and I never actually followed the National League because I was an American League kid.
Why would you?
Minnesota. Yeah,
of course.
We ended up doing a show together and hit it off instantly and became buddies like the first night we hung out. And after a couple years of meeting up and playing shows together, he was like, you know, you should be in my band.
Nice.
I was like, okay, yeah, let's do that. So we're having fun. And that was when he was still here, and then he was doing some color commentary and things like that here. And then they went up to San Francisco.
Right, with Bruce Bochy.
And, with Bochy, and won 3 World Series. And now he retired from that. And I've been playing in his band for steadily for about 8 years.
Nice. Oh, I didn't even realize it went back that far. Okay.
Yeah. And we've been having a blast. And this, you know, last year he retired from baseball, but he's actually doing MLB Network pre and post game. And he's also doing Comcast. So he's basically all over the map. He's in San Francisco for a week. Then we'll go do a couple shows. Then he'll go to New York to do MLB.
Sure.
And so, you know, and he's still very much a San Diego guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of people down here were upset at them leaving, but, you know, he got fired.
Right, pretty much.
So he said, you know, I was like, and they got offered a job up there, you know. So it's, so I got to see the, get to experience the baseball little more firsthand here and up there through him, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Brought me back into the baseball world, which has been fun.
Nice. Nice. And, you know, like, I've never had the opportunity to see him play live. I've seen some clips on YouTube. He's got some chops, though, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Great songwriter. I mean, he's very prolific. He's writing all the time.
In fact, is he?
Sending me new songs, like, every couple days. He's just, yeah, and he goes way back. His family's from Kentucky, so he grew up with bluegrass and old country and folk and, you know, then moved to California as a kid and got in the whole Graham Parsons thing and all that. So he's definitely steeped in music very heavily. His whole family is. His grandma played the banjo. So
Hey, all right. Well, that's fantastic. And I guess maybe one last thing about that. Does he write any songs that pertain to baseball or maybe have some kind of a connection to like his playing career? And that kind
of thing? Yeah. He's got, in fact, he has so many that Comcast had us do a show, for him, Tim Flannery, Songs and Stories, that we recorded 3 episodes, and they've been airing them throughout the summer. Like the first episode aired through May, and then second one through June.
Up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, they're doing the third one now. Yeah, all Northern California.
Sure.
And so they're half-hour segments. We did 4 songs in each show. He told stories. You know, a lot of them pertain to baseball. Some specifically, some, you know, more metaphorically, or sure, you know, through it.
And nice.
Some great songs. Yeah, and the show has been getting a lot of attention, and it's really cool.
Nice. Well, when we can get our hands on those here, Beatdowners, we'll definitely give you the contact info. But right now, that's playing up in NorCal, and how very cool that is.
Music.
You're listening to The Beatdown Show, featuring the insuperable C. Colton. Now, back to the show.
We have a little fun with this. Sean, you may not recognize this song here, but one of my favorite local bands is The Burning of Rome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure,
is this them? Okay.
This is their song, Ballad of an Onion Sprout.
Oh, cool.
They're definitely a beatdown favorite. I talk about them all the time. We use their drop here.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on great shows when they're touring. Right now, they don't have any dates, but still love you guys, man. Let's get some local shows going. Hey, it'd be really cool if they decided to play the Sono Fest in North Park, and I'm sure they'd be open to it. So Who do you know that I can hook them up with, man?
Talk to Coda.
Oh, talk to Coda
Shimazaki. Oh, right. Yeah, he'll get him in there.
He'll get it going at the Ceramic Connection.
I'll talk to him about it.
Right on, man. Fantastic. Well, let's talk a little bit about your beginnings, man. You, like you mentioned already, you're from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. How did you land San Diego? I know you probably made some stops along the way before you ended up in San Diego, but how'd you end up here and why'd you stay?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a long story. I started playing music when I was 9, taking guitar lessons. Then a guy moved to my small town of Elk River who was starting a boys choir, kind of a pattern after the Vienna Boys Choir.
Mm-hmm.
And I auditioned and got in and performed, toured, and recorded for 4 years. So I did a lot of touring and recording and doing concerts. Moved to the Bay Area, San Francisco, went all over that area, moved to Amsterdam for a couple of years, came back to San Diego, not really intending on staying here, but got here and I, you know, kind of waited for winter to arrive and it never came. So I've been here for 18 years.
Awesome, man.
It's, Yeah, you know, I really like it here. It's the people, opportunities seem to open up right away. And everyone's really friendly, and the musicians are cool. You know, I kind of fell right in with them. So
that's terrific. And then we're talking like late 90s, mid to late 90s kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, I started in Minneapolis is right in the mid 80s to early 90s, sure. Cut my teeth there and then moved. Yeah. Came to California and then got here around 97.
Solid.
And 1 week after I came here, my buddy who worked at the Hillcrest Farmer's Market selling mushrooms at one of the stands. And he's like, hey, come down and play at this farmer's market. And so I did. And then ended up playing there every Sunday for 18 years.
Unbelievable.
And then, yeah, and that's how my band, the Seventh-day Buskers, formed through that. People just kind of would sit in, and then it eventually became a band.
So cool, man.
Yeah.
And you probably had no problem busking because you'd done it, I'm sure, in Amsterdam. And
yeah, I did all over Europe and all over Canada, all over the place. So that's kind of why he was like, hey, you should come busk here. And yeah, so that's what happened.
Super cool. And, you know, in full disclosure here, the first time I ever saw Sean playing was at a Hillcrest Farmer's Market, probably in the mid to late 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and watched for a while, and I was like, is that a drum that's made out of a suitcase? What's going on here? And yeah. Talk about a perfect place to kind of play the style of music that you guys do, because it's rootsy, it's Americana, it's bluegrass, it's folk, it's rock.
Yeah.
You know, it's all these things. And there's a lot of hustle and bustle going on at the Hillcrest Farmer's Market. I still think, if not the best, one of the two best in town.
Yeah, I think so. You know, when I first got here, I tried a few of the other ones as well, and it was cool, but that just had a vibe. And back then it was right in just the DMV parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they eventually moved it onto the street. Now it's really gotten really big.
It's big time.
Yeah. But the suitcase we ended up doing, cause they couldn't have drums there.
Sure.
Drum set with a kick. And, my drummer, Richard T-Bone Larson, was like, hey, do you have a suitcase? And I was like, oh yeah, I got the merch one, dumped it out, dumped all the t-shirts out of it. And we put the kick pedals like, yeah, American Tourister 72. It's got a great tone.
Oh, look at that.
and we actually had to, we found another one, luckily, of the same exact suitcase, because the first one got a hole in it after a few years.
Oh, you man. Know? So
I recommend that sound.
Fantastic.
It's $2 or $3 at Barris Thrift.
There we go. Barris Thrift. A shout out to University Avenue and the crest there. Producer McCoolin's loving that because he slaps the skins in the gorgeous Boy Scouts. So cool. maybe we can get you one of those.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, but you're not playing the market anymore. You had to kind of move on to the next chapter. Why did you do that? And why did you feel it was time?
Well, it was one of the big reasons was I'm just out of town all the time. You know, doing a lot of touring and that kind of thing. But also it changed a lot. You know, it's still a great market. It just kind of felt like it was time to move on. Things had changed, and, you know, it's kind of, yeah, like I said, I'm busy and just felt like, yeah, let's end this now. And, you know, because I looked at it like 18 years. Holy, you know.
Yeah, right.
How did that happen? Which has been a great time, but, you know, just felt like it was time to move on. It was actually kind of the same time Flannery walked off of baseball and retired. You know, I watched him do, you know, walk away from probably his biggest year he would ever have as a coach, but he was just felt like it was time. And I thought, you know, I kind of feel the same way about doing that gig.
Sure.
Know, it can't go on forever, and might as well go out on top while we're, you know, still having fun and not having, you know, and before it turns into something that, you know, we've been worn out our welcome or whatever. So.
Sure. But it wasn't like you were sick of it. You just felt like, you know, it'd run its course.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's great. I mean, I cherish those Sundays all the time, and, you know, so.
Sure.
They're great. I had a great time.
Fantastic. Well, I haven't been back to the farmer's market in a little while. Certainly not since you guys stopped playing there. Won't be the same to me, man.
But, well, thank you.
But yeah, no, I appreciate that. Now, one of the other musicians that I kind of equate you with, and a guy who I'm a big fan of, is Steve Poltz.
Mm-hmm.
And had the pleasure to see you gentlemen play at the North Park Festival of the Arts just a couple months ago in May of 2016, the year that we're in currently. And tell me a little bit about basically your, you know, relationship with Steve and kind of where that's taken you.
Yeah, we, you know, we started we met and became friends pretty quickly. We have a lot in common. We were both raised Catholic boys. We were both wrestlers. We both we like the same kind of music. And I ended up started playing in his band maybe 10 years ago. And, you know, when he was using a band at that point, started as the Cynics, then became the Flight Attendants. Mm. So I did some playing with that. Then he broke his hand in Canada skiing.
Ooh.
And like this was around 2010. And I was working on an album, actually, the day he called me. He's like, I'm in Canada. I broke my hand. I need you to learn all my stuff. I'm like, by when? And he goes, I have a sold out Belly Up show in a week. And then I need you to go on tour. And you need to learn the Rugburn stuff too.
Oh, man.
Okay. Went in and shut everything down in the studio. It was like, time to get to work. And basically, you know, was fighting for my life on that gig. I had to learn all this stuff. And, you know.
On the fly.
Because, I mean, his finger style and everything, he's got his own style. He's an amazing guitar player.
Yes.
And so I had to learn all that and learn the Rugburn stuff, too, because he wanted someone that could finger pick and also could do the driving kind of the Rugburn. So pulled it off and went on the road with him. And then we developed the two... the single hand each, two guys playing one guitar technique that we do. And you know, just over the years, I still play. He tours solo and has been for the past maybe 4 years or so. But I still hook up with him and we play, and sometimes on the road, sometimes here.
Fantastic.
And he's one of my best friends. You know, we just have a great time.
Right on. Also a pretty big Padres fan.
Oh, yeah. Very, very like dedicated Padres fan. Yeah.
He is, man. Love to catch him when he's playing local shows. So that was a special treat because I had no idea you'd be playing up there that night. So
neither did I.
Kind of
I never know.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. It's like he'll be like, hey, come down and play a couple songs. Then he's like, all right, plug in. Sound checking. He's like, you're on. You know, and I never know what we're playing. But he likes that, and I like doing that, so that's part of the energy and we do little things. Like we did a couple months ago, we did a Grateful Dead set at the Whistle Stop together where we just did all Grateful Dead songs.
Man.
He had a medical scare a year ago, and it turned him into a Grateful Dead head. Like, he loves the Grateful Dead now.
All right, then.
And so that was pretty fun, too. But we like that. We're both into the spontaneous, the danger of it, so...
That's fantastic.
Pretty fun.
Wow. I mean, that's knowing that now, it actually adds like a little more excitement to me. The next time I'll catch your guys act. I am speaking with Sean Rolfe. He's our guest, our co-host, our co-host, but he's also our guest here on the Beatdown Show. He's been delighting San Diego music fans for decades. He's also an instructor, a music instructor at the Recording Arts Center. And I believe that's in Carmel Valley.
I was at the Youth Arts Academy.
Okay.
And now it's the Recording Arts Center is in Rancho Bernardo at Studio West.
I see.
Which is studio's been in San Diego since over 40 years.
How about that?
And so they called me in around 2010 to write some classes. It's a degree program in the recording arts. So it's an associate's degree, and I wrote music history, music theory, songwriting, production and arranging, business and music. So I teach all those, and I also teach all the Pro Tools classes as well.
Very nice. That sounds like a pretty good gig for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. You know, and I had done that previously with younger kids. It's fun working with college-age kids and developing this program. I mean, it's a great staff, a great degree. We've got, in the short time it's been going on, we've gotten good placement. One of our kids is working at on The Voice as a drum editor and, you know, different big shows and going on tour with people. So there's a lot of different, it's a good program.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, Sean, I see you brought your guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play a song for us.
Sure.
All right. I'll let you set it up. Here's Sean Rolfe.
Okay. All right, well, this song, I know we're talking about San Diego, but my connection with Flannery has ended up landing me up in the Bay Area a lot more, too, so up and down the coast. And this song, he recorded on his last album. This is called San Francisco Love Affair, and it's been gaining a lot of traction on the Songs and Stories show where we did a version of it. Your early morning after, I wanna be your breath of nervous laughter between the sheets. Let it be me. I wanna take you to breakfast in the Mission. I wanna make some kind of new tradition after we lay here a while and talk about our dreams. Hey, 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 think it would be okay Let's waste some time in the record stores on Haight Street. Let's make the climb over Chinatown to North Beach. Tomorrow's free. Let's walk the shoes right off our feet. Hey, 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 think it would be okay. Guard down, I caught you smiling just now. I don't mean you any harm. I just want to keep you warm till the sun shines on Golden Gate. I want to see your hair across my pillow, moonlit beams peeking through the window, such a treat. Waking up has never seemed so sweet. Hey, 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 think it would be okay. Thank you.
That's no joke, man. That's a terrific song. And give us the name of that song when we're done.
San Francisco Love Affair. And that'll be coming out on a solo album I'm putting out in October.
Great. So he's got a solo album coming out. That's part of a bigger project, I think you were saying.
Yeah, it's a two-album thing. It's called Country Mouse, City Mouse. And it kind of, both is going to be like Act 1, Act 2. And it's basically half of it's delving into the country or rural stuff and then urban city stuff.
Perfect. And where can people find your music right now?
You've
done with the Buskers and
yeah,
so
you can get on iTunes or you know all the obviously the internet stuff, Amazon, all that. I've got a Facebook page, Instagram, all that, Twitter. Website is being rebuilt right now for the release of this next album, so that will be up shortly again. I had to take it down to redo a bunch of stuff, so
no problem.
I mean, there's a bookmark there now, but we'll get the full store up, and it should be up in like a couple weeks.
There you go, fans. So in the meantime, find him on some of those other outlets, and
or come to our shows too. We'll sell you a CD
merch. There. Yes, indeed. Sean, let's talk about the last Buskers album. Mm-hmm. Sean Rolfe from the Buskers live at Java Joe's. Yeah. Java Joe's, for those that don't know, it's a coffee shop in Normal Heights.
Yep. Goes way back. I mean, this is where Pultz and Jewel and Jason Mraz, all these people started.
Right.
Back when he was an OB. And I think he was originally in Poway. And then
moved OB to OB.
Now he's got a place on Adams Yeah, and it's doing well. He's, you know, been around. He's a great friend
of mine. Joe we're talking about.
Joe, yeah. And he's, you know, he just creates a good vibe everywhere he ends up putting his coffee shop. And I've had a lot of late night parties with him and hanging out with him. And we picked it as a, you know, just there was a lot of energy in that room every time we played there. So we did it over two night run and took the best of and put it on a CD.
Fantastic. And I'm looking at the track listing here on the back of the CD. A lot of great songs here. Some I'm familiar with, some I'm not.
Yeah, we did like, we put some of the old ones on because of doing them live had a different, you know, ones we wanted to recreate.
Sure.
Show it what it's like live, the energy we do. And then about half of them are new as well that hadn't been released previously. Right. One country duet with a great singer named Ashley Pond, who just moved to Nashville recently. So
okay, and the name of that tune is?
That's Last Time Around.
There it is.
They're all originals. They're all my songs. There's one song we did by Paul Kamansky. Joey Harris, who's our guitar player, who is, of course, the Beat Farmers lead guitarist. We did Hollywood Hills, which is a remake of one of their songs written by Paul Kamansky.
Oh, killer. Yeah, I see it there. Track number 7. All right.
Yeah, that's a fan favorite. Joey, of course, amazing guy. Great musician.
Fantastic, man. Yeah. Well, pick that up, Beatdowners. It's live at Java Joe's, Sean Rolfe and the Buskers. No Seventh Day on that, but
yeah,
that's
we
okay.
kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's still Seventh Day Buskers.
Right, it's still the same group. hopefully people won't get too confused. Yeah. I think that's actually a pretty easy transition.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then I wanted to ask you real quick, the O Berkeley, Where Heart Thou shows that you did, if you could explain kind of to my listeners what that was. It was a couple of live performances, really. Mm-hmm. And if you could just break down everything that it was. I know musician Jeff Berkeley, who's great. I like him, too, a lot. Obviously, his name is in it. But just if you could explain the O Berkeley
Heart Thou show. Yeah, Jeff Berkeley and Calman Hart, who are Berkeley Hart, had this idea. And this is actually where I met Flannery, was at the first one of these, which was like 2000 or 2002 or something like that. And they had an idea to recreate a lot of the songs from that movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou, as well as originals and other kind of country and folk, and do it kind of in a Grand Ole Opry style.
Uh-huh.
And I believe we've done. And the original one was the Seventh Day Buskers were the house band. Mm-hmm. And like Flannery was on it, Eve Sellis, Lisa Sanders, Robin Hinkle, and a bunch of people like that. And they've done a bunch of them over the years. We've had people participate like John C. Reilly, the actor, and you know big names, people like that. We just did it in April, like you said. I think it might have been maybe the seventh or eighth rendition of it. Mm-hmm. But it is just a blast. I mean, it's like really brings the whole community together, and you know, we just have a lot of fun sharing the music on stage and doing it in old time style. And
sure. And what was the venue this time around?
Poway Center for the Arts.
Okay, great.
Yeah. We did that last two times and we sell it out, so it's a big night. Nice. Yeah,
perfect. And,
Jeff and Kelman really know how to put on a party. I always say, you know, they're good guys.
That's great. And I just love the music from that film anyway. Yeah. So from O Brother, Where Art Thou? Mm-hmm. So what a cool idea, and the fact that you guys have had some legs behind it, being able to do it a few times.
Yeah, the first time they did it, they made a DVD of the show, and I actually watched it before we did this one to kind of reacquaint myself with some of the songs. And I was watching Flannery and me goofing off, and it all came back to me. That was the first day we ever hung out, and I immediately called him and said that somebody should have known right then to separate us.
Yeah.
We were destined for nothing but trouble.
Oh, man. Yeah, seriously.
But it was yeah, it's a blast.
Oh, and that's fantastic, man.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm glad you. Well, I'm sorry I missed that, but hopefully you guys will do another one of those at some point.
Yeah, so. I think you probably will. I mean, it's pretty popular. So,
right on. Well, thanks for sharing with us here, Sean. You know what I'd like to share with you right now?
What's that?
Some ice cold beer.
Oh yeah, now you're speaking my language.
Hey, careful, man. There's a beverage here. Huh? I like old beverage
here. I'm kind of thirsty.
Yeah. Me too.
All right, man. Well, it's a craft beer segment that we do here. And producer McCoolin is running to go get the beer. Usually this is my job, but I was just so into the drops that we had.
Well, he's a Minnesotan, so I know he likes beer.
He definitely does. He's got a gig a couple times a week checking IDs over at the Belching Beaver here in North Park.
Oh, really? I haven't been to that place yet. I got to check that out.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I've driven by there a few times. But I need to go there.
It's a great cozy little spot, and this is perfect. This is exactly the kind of stuff we talk about during this segment.
Is that where the old Crazy Burger was?
Yep,
across the street. Same building?
Not the same building, but right near that corner.
Okay.
Right near that corner where there's some giant senior housing living thing going on. So, anyway, there's the beers. All right. And you're participating, yes, McCoolin? All right. I should have probably checked with him in the prep on that, but he usually does. So, all right. So, we've got a couple of interesting beers here. I'll do the pouring, and we'll try these. We'll get some notes. First, let's start with Novo Brazil. It does not sound like a local brewery, but they're based in Chula Vista. And I don't speak Portuguese, but I think Novo Brazil could mean New Brazil. Not positive.
Yeah,
not I've had me. Some of their stuff before. It's really good. I have not been to the brewery in Chula Vista. But today we'll be trying the Chula Pils. So let me get some of that poured up. Sean, in the meantime, maybe if you could throw out a couple of local San Diego craft beers that you're familiar with that you to sap on.
Oh, I like the Modern Times stuff. I like the... Of course, Dallas Point, you can't go wrong with some of that. You know, my buddy Dave Lively has got a place, the Fall Brewing Company, which I've become...
Fall's fantastic.
Yeah, that Mike Hess.
Sure.
Man, there's just so many of them, right?
It's crazy. Hey, we were talking about Thorn Street earlier.
Yeah, Thorn Street, of course. Yeah, right in my neck of the woods. So.
Right. So we have that going for us. Well, let's give this one a whirl first. It's 5%. And that's alcohol by volume, of course. So I think that's not too bad. And then 30 IBUs, so it's not going to be on the super bitter side. Guys, let's touch them up.
Cheers.
Sean?
Cheers.
Let's get that clinking sound on, and let's give it a whirl here. All right. You know, a Pilsner is a style, I think, that doesn't get enough love in San Diego because people are so, like, hop-headed around here with the IPAs and whatnot. What do you think, Sean?
I think this is kind of where I've been starting to head towards. I mean, you know, so many IPAs, so many pale ales, like you said, and I love them. But, every time I have a pils, I'm going, this is, you know, lighter. I could actually drink more than two of these while getting drunk.
Right, exactly.
And tastes good, I
think. Pretty good. Yeah. What do you think, McCoolin?
Tastes good, smells better.
Ooh, smells I didn't better. Even get the notes on the
you're
nose.
Supposed
there.
To smell it too. Huh?
Oh yeah. Yep. There's that. Yeah. No. That is nice. Floral notes, I would say. I'm not like some beer snob either, by the way, Sean. we like really good craft beer, but we talked about on an earlier Beatdown show. I'm not afraid to grab an American domestic if I need to, or a light domestic.
I love going home and drinking Grain Belt. Grain Belt Premium.
Grain Belt Premium. That's one I know. Well, you guys know that. You Minnesota.
That's
it.
$50 on luggage flying back to Minnesota with Grain
Belt. Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. My parents bring me out cases. Bring me some more Grain Belt.
Well, guys, I'm going to have to remember that. Next time I'm in the Twin Cities, I'll get me some Grain Belt.
Yeah,
but,
I like it all. I'm not very fussy when it comes to me.
That's good. And honestly, if I have to be full disclosure, I ran into Sean recently, and I don't really know Sean. But I know his music, and I ran into him recently at the Whistle Stop in South Park, and you were just sitting there having a beer with your brother, and I was sitting having a beer with my girl, and I came over and said hello, and now here we are on the Beatdown show, man.
Yeah, so, I'm glad you came over.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, let's grab a beer there again another time.
Sure, for sure. Yeah.
So we'll do that. I'm going to finish up a little bit of this, and then I'll get the next beer poured. McCoolin, rest your weary bones. You're doing so much over here. But maybe if I can, if you guys would hand me your drinking vessels, I will be able to give you a proper pour. We'll give you some notes here on the next one. I realize I wasn't talking into the mic there. And this pour could have been better. Sorry, Sean. You got a lot of foam on that one. And
that's my bad.
No worries.
And I'm just going to hand it to you. This is really making for a riveting podcast when I'm describing what's going on in the room. But let's talk about the next beer. It's from McKellar Brewing. It's an IPA, and it's called Waves Bulger. Interesting name. I didn't really get
Bulger. A whole lot of... Not Whitey Bulger, though, right?
Not Whitey Bulger, the famed mob informant and horrible crime underlord in Boston. But right. Waves Bulger. McKellar, the brewer, is he was kind of a traveling brewer, almost like a gypsy, if you will, going all over the world and brewing beer. And he recently landed in San Diego and has decided to call this home, set up shop. And McKellar Brewing is now in the old location of Alesmith in Miramar because Alesmith moved to a much bigger location and got their own street named after them in that same area of Beer-a-mar, as a lot of the craft heads call it. But let's give this one a try. Okay. Cheers, boys. Touch them up. All right. Clink, clink.
I'm going to smell it this time.
There we go. I can smell the hops right out the gate. 7.3%. So a couple of these. And wow. As I like to say, you'll be on your wallet. It's nice. I think it's pretty crisp. So I like that about it. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely can taste the hops, but it is crisp, like you said. I don't really know the proper
lingo,
right? Terms and lingo, but
I kind of roll my eyes. Does. I kind of roll my eyes sometimes when people start getting way too heavy on the lingo or the jargon or, you know, some of that kind of stuff. But
my brother brews, so he's always he was doing that day when
when
you came up. But see, he explains it to me, you know, like
Sure, and like I you know, when I read some of the notes on some of these beers, I can taste like the, you know, the floral notes or the citrus or or what it, depending on what it is. I didn't do my homework that great on this brew here, but, you know, it's an IPA. This guy from McKellar Brewing, he's going to be making some, oddly enough, big waves as we sit here drinking the Waves Bulger IPA. So he's going to be a name you're going to want to remember, and, the brewery, McKellar Brewing, you're going to want to kind of keep them in mind when you're looking at your better liquor stores and brew shops. Like, I actually like going to Bottle Craft here in North Park before every Beatdown show, and they're not a sponsor because, again, we don't have a sponsor. I just like giving them shouts because they're always really helpful in helping me pick something.
Yeah, they were very helpful at a birthday party that they helped me out with. They're good people.
Good folks, and, you know, they have a tasting room component of their own over there and the cheese shop, Vinissimo, in the back.
And I was trying to be, like, you know, trying to talk the talk, and I said, do you have anything with, like, kind of a liver and onions aftertaste and things like that? And they kind of – they didn't even, like – throw me out of there, so I don't know. They're nice.
That's a good thing. And knowing a few people in the industry like I do, I think it's a lot more accessible, the craft brew thing, is than wine. I do enjoy a nice bottle of red, but not nearly to the level that I like beer. And because San Diego's exploded and has been now for many years, and it's only getting bigger and bigger, I think that there's a little bit of amount of shepherding to be done with the masses, trying to get them to like it. You know, I mean, my old man still would rather have his MGD or his High Life any day over like a grapefruit Sculpin. You know, I had him try it and he was not a fan. But
really?
I think that's part of it is, you know, it's not overly snobby. I mean, some folks are, but
yeah,
you know, that's kind of the good thing about the craft. And well, we like to respect the craft around here.
The Beatdown Show recommends that you respect the craft. Please drink responsibly.
Well, we sure will, and we are right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling more responsible by the minute.
Well, now it's time for the signature portion of the show where we throw people under the bus, the Beatdown List. And you get that nice little groove going right there from Run the Jewels, a very successful kind of independent hip-hop group. And it just kind of fits perfect because we'd like to have a hard edge on the Beatdown List.
Yeah.
First of all, we're going to throw Doug Manchester, former owner of the Union Tribune and owner of the Manchester Grand Hyatt and Hyatt Grand Del Mar. He's basically the richest man in San Diego County. But that's not why we're throwing him under the bus. We're throwing him under the bus because he recently wrote a letter to the editor of the UT, his former property that he owned, essentially, is his former business. And first of all, I kind of question the editorial staff at the UT for even printing a letter from its former owner. But anyway, he went on to say some terrible things about how he thinks the current administration, and he was talking about the White House and probably some California state leaders are kind of somewhat responsible for the lack of leadership and the terrible things that are happening with unrest, with the police and stuff like that. That's hogwash. I can't go for that.
Nah, me neither. Enough already.
Yeah, so Manchester.
With this shit.
Exactly. Manchester.
Do that on here?
Yeah, that's fine. No problem. No censorship here, buddy.
Okay, good.
Yeah, enough of that shit. But Manchester, go develop some more hotels or, you know, go find some other properties to develop. He's actually going to be turning a lot of the land that UT sits on into like condos and stuff like that. So why don't you focus on that? It's not like the police have ever given you any trouble. So
yeah,
give me a break and take your attitude. You know what? If you want to write letters to the editor, why don't you do it to the New York Times or LA Times, just some property that you didn't own before. Give me a break, man. Unbelievable. Anyway, also, we're going to throw some more people in the bus here on the beatdown list, and it's going to be the three Republican-leaning or Republicans on the San Diego City Council. This just announced that San Diego's finally, the City Council's approving a plastic bag ban. I think it's a great idea. We're just overrun with plastic bags from grocery stores and food outlets, and they end up where? In the ocean.
Everywhere. In the ocean.
The parks, the rivers. Yeah.
Side of the freeway.
Yeah, it's horrible, man.
Yeah, it is horrible.
And in this era of being a little more conscious about the earth and thinking about things like climate change, it's not that hard to bring your own bags these days. I'm guilty of still not doing it all the time, but I try to remember when I can, when I'm at those grocery chains and stuff like this. But, man, I'm going to throw them all under the bus right now. The three that luckily were outvoted on the city council. And they're Republicans Mark Kersey, Scott Sherman, and Chris Cate. All of them opposed the bag ban. And for that, I say, hit the bricks, you councilmen, and put a bag over your heads. But it can be a paper bag, and you can cut out holes for air because we don't want to harm you in any sort of way. But put a bag over your head. That's shameful that they would do that, man. I mean, less plastic bags. San Diego's behind the curve as far as most California cities. You know, it's banned.
That's true, yeah.
I heard it was something like the 150th city, to get on board with this. I mean, why did it take so long, Sean?
I don't know. Especially in a town like this where, you know, we're at the beach and all the stuff's going in the ocean. This is like... You should see that firsthand here more than most places.
Exactly. So those guys can hit the bricks, and that is our beatdown list.
The beatdown list segment of this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only and does not condone or advocate violence in any form. Its larger purpose is to serve cautionary notice for the intended people or entities herein exposed that the informed populace is omnipresent, outraged, and fully operational and will no longer accept any tomfoolery, trickeration, hijinks, absurdity, rope-a-doping, carnival barking, hypocrisy, or insanity in any form or manner.
What so ever. Enough of that. All right. Well, first of all, I want to thank, that was our voiceover emeritus, J. Dub. I'd also like to thank McCoolin. Much like Jesus, he's the reason we're all here. No, but he's our engineer extraordinaire. He's definitely the executive producer. Without him, it wouldn't be possible. Always maximum love and respect to him. I also want to thank our guest, our co-host, Sean Rolfe. Sean, thanks so much for being here,
hey,
man.
Hey, I had a blast. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem. And down the road, we'll be looking for your local gigs. I meant to say this earlier. We definitely need to get you like a, and I know you're out of town a lot. I'd love it if you just had like a set spot where you were like the in-house guy, every Friday or something.
I'm kind of working on that right now. There might be something in the works with that because I need that.
I read your mind,
man. I talked to a guy the other night. I'll let you know when I don't want to say anything yet until we figure out if it's
going to happen. Of course, yeah. Well, so that'll be something for beatdowners to look forward to. We'll certainly hype it in future episodes. But
cool. Thanks
again, man. And also, just keep listening, folks. Subscribe on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Hit us on the Twitter. And be sure to leave a review if you do subscribe on iTunes or Podcast Addict. Tell us how much we suck. It's been my pleasure to be your host. And Sean is going to play a song for us to lead us out of here. Namaste.
Song called Little Bit Country, Little Punk Rock. There's cows in the pasture crapping and mooing. Farmer's daughter's in the hayloft. Who the hell knows what she's doing? She's pierced and tattooed and built like an ox. Just a little bit country and a little punk rock. I'm a long gone daddy and I'm fresh out of cash on my bar stool throne with the Guinness mustache, singing how many times can I go around this block, just a little bit country and a little punk rock. Well, some things just get prettier with age, like a Martin guitar and Diane Lane. My record started skipping, so I threw away my clock. Just a little bit country and a little punk rock. Well, I'm a long gone daddy and I'm fresh out of cash on my bar stool throne with the Guinness mustache, singing how many times can I go around this block. Just a little bit country and a little punk. You're melting, won't you drag me through the sludge? If you fill my glass half empty, I'll let you hold my grudge. My door is always open, so there's no need to knock. A little bit country and a little punk rock. I'm a long gone daddy and I'm fresh out of cash on my bar stool throne with the Guinness mustache, singing how many times can I go around this block. Just a little bit country and a little punk rock. Daddy and I'm fresh out of cash at the Tin Can Ale House with the flim flam flask, singing how many times can I go around this block. Just a little bit country and a little punk rock. Singing how many times can I go around this block. Just a little bit country and punk rock.